time for your comments, pulled from the emails and voicemails we get. We read and listen to them all. We got more letters about our segment last Wednesday on the 10th anniversary of rapper Tupac Shakur. Here's a sample. Michael Head of Detroit questioned making Tupac an icon for young people. Hip-hop does have good examples, if not leaders, in people like Chuck D of Public Enemy. Tupac is simply the greatest icon of the hip-hop cancer that thug life has become. It infects youth all over the world. How soon we forget he was the main instigator of the East Coast-West Coast beef. His madness inspires and lives on through his many clones like 50 Cent. Rashad Shabazz of Oakland, California disagreed. Anyone who has listened to Tupac knows that he was both a critic and a participant in the evils of U.S. society. Like many young black people, Shakur embodied the very thing he opposed. This is why his mother called him an honest man, because he struggled with his contradictions and opened himself up to the world. This is why so many loved him. On Tuesday, our roundtable reacted to the suicide of Melinda Duckett. She shot herself the day after CNN's Nancy Grace talked to her about her son's disappearance. Alan Hill of Indianapolis, Indiana, emailed us afterward, "As someone who's experienced a traumatic event and still lives with its effects, I'm disturbed by the implication that traumatized people are ticking time bombs who, if someone just says the wrong thing to them, will go off and kill themselves. Traumatized people are seriously injured, but they are still in control of their own actions and are, like everyone else, ultimately responsible for them." Nancy Mullane reported last week about the big exodus of black families from San Francisco's Central City. It caught the ear of Mike Powers in Reno, Nevada. "I just wanted to point out that black families are not the only ones being pushed out of their homes due to rising home values. This is happening to all lower-income families everywhere, that home values have spiked over the last few years. San Diego and Los Angeles are also good examples." Meantime, Ken Richards of Santa Fe, New Mexico, was curious about why the family profiled didn't buy. Why on earth had they rented for 30 years and never bought property in the city? They may have had their reasons, but home ownership is key to tightly knit communities. True, it's too late, but if they now owned a home in San Francisco, it wouldn't matter how many rich people moved in. They wouldn't have to sell, and they wouldn't be evicted. Reporter Nancy Mullane tells us that Erica and Carl Griffin did think about buying often, but they were raising a family and put their extra money elsewhere. By the time they had money to purchase a home, prices were really on the way up and way out of reach. We appreciate all your comments, good or bad. We want to hear from you, so please keep them coming. You can call us at 202-408-3330. That's 202-408-3330. Or you can email us. Just log on to npr.org and click on Contact Us. Please be sure to tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name.